Maharaj, you know, today in the morning I had talk with Manasa Krishna Prabhu, and there was questions related to soul and nature of soul. And Shyamala Prabhu, he have a question about like self-identification. You know, because we heard, he said like we heard many. Like there is many identification of
identification.
Yes, yourself. You have like a as a body, as a mind, as an interest, blah blah. And also we heard there is a soul and something beyond. Like I heard Swarup or something else. So, like, what is our aim to achieve? And actually, because you know, Maharaj, we heard expression "my soul," but it's actually not right because you know, like me as a soul or my soul or my swarup or something else. So he actually asking this soul, what is this actually like? Who we are? You know, in this whole gradation, and where we are, what is our aim, and who we are actually?
No. Sanatan Goswami, he's taking our position in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have the Rupa Shiksha, Mahaprabhu's instructions to Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Shiksha, Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatan Goswami. Remember, Sanatan Goswami is also the Sambandha Gyan Acharya. Yeah, Sambandha, Avideya, Prayojan. Sambandha means rendered as relationship, but also perspective. So it's going to form the basis on which everything else will be built upon, the rest of the spiritual conception. So, as again, representing our position, Sanatana Goswami says, Kayami kenyamai jari tapitrai, iha nahi jani kamai hitohoi. Very beautifully, he says, who am I? Kayami kenyamai. Jare tapitra, and why am I suffering from tapitra? It means the threefold miseries. If I don't know this, iha nahi jan. If I don't know this, then kemane hito hoi. How can I know what's good for me? Like people, and just before we get into that, it's very popular in the modern world. People are very, like, with great pride and arrogance, they want to share their lives on the internet, say through social networking and other things. Or you'll meet some, hear an interview with a pop singer or something, you know, I've got something, you know, to tell the world, and people should know who I am, and, you know, I'm all about me. And all these modern distillations of classic humanistic sloganeering, you know, believe in yourself, and all. And so people think, yeah, so this social network is meant to broadcast my life because I'm the most important person, and you know, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all, and you have to look in the mirror every morning and say, I love you. When I look in the mirror in the morning, that's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, oh my God, I have to brush my teeth again. Because the I see the dentist, all of the phantoms of these dentai dentists. You gotta brush your teeth! You know, you're not brushed long enough. You have to do your teeth. You know, I mean, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. I mean, learning to brush your teeth is one of the hardest things to do.
It's true.
But anyway, so there's all this stuff about, you know, being, you know, you got to be me. That was another popular thing from the 60s, even though famous, I just got to be me. And it sounds really good because you're saying, yeah, society is, and your rearing, your education, your it's imposing so many, well, there's so many impositions upon you, and you're always responding to others, right? Preparing a face to greet the world, right? We're responding to other people as they would like to see us. But again, this point, Sanatana Goswami is taking it all the way back to the start. Who am I, and why am I suffering? This is the starting point. Who am I, and why am I suffering? If I don't know this, then all this other stuff about being yourself and looking out for number one, and you know, it's maybe based upon a false premise, the wrong idea. So, and just for the record, what are the threefold miseries? Adhyatmika, Adibhautika, Adidevika. Which means Adhyatmika, self-inflicted misery. Adibhautika means suffering on account of others. Right? That can be other people. It can be mosquitoes. You know, it can be many things. But others. Misery that comes from others. Then Adidevika, that means like devata, that means, interestingly, when they would write insurance policies, in English they use this expression for tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, like they had here. They say, this doesn't include acts of God. So that's what they used to call a flood, a tornado, an earthquake, hurricane, an act of God. Like they're just saying, this is beyond any reasonable expectation from us to insure you on. So you could get, you know, earthquake insurance, or yeah, that's extra. But what's normal, they're saying, we don't include acts of God. Huh?
It's yeah. Surprising for me.
Right. Well, this, welcome to capitalism. Where, you know, one corporate entity lives at the expense of another. Jiva, that's a play on words. At least I think it's humorous. Jiva, jiva, shijivana. Anyway, so he's saying, who am I? Why am I suffering in this way? If I don't know this, how can I act for my own benefit? So Mahaprabhu's answer, we've heard many times, it sounds very simple, but actually within it, it's conceptually profound. That's when he says, Jive Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Veda Ve Prakash. So his answer to that question is, you're the eternal servant of Krishna. The Swarup, Jive Swarupai, the Swarup of the Jiva is Krishna Das. And Swarup, hear me, Sva means myself, Rup, form, identity. So he's saying, really who you are, as you may have heard this morning, that Atma can mean many things. We generally take it to mean the soul, that the self means the soul. But we're told, no, Atma can mean the body, that's a type of identity. Body, it can be the mind, or it could be intellect, you know. It can mean your soul. There are many different conceptions of what Atma is. But so it means self overall, but as we may conceive of the self in different ways, so the word Atma may be employed. But here, Mahaprabhu was saying, the swarup of the jiva, and so that means by inference, he's saying, there may be other concepts of who you are that are not based upon your swarup, and they may be problematic in different ways. So we see in the world when there's something called self-determination in Hegel's language, and that means determining who you are, what is your identity. But it's most often used in a socio-political context about democracy. So some people will say, we're our own country, and we're the such and such people, and we have the right to determine who we will be. And it sounds very good, right? But when you look at it at the same time, you know, whether it's in the Arab world or the American, North America, or, you know, Europe, Asia, all it starts, sometimes begs the imagination. Because according to where you're born, then you're born in some country, and then you'll have a particular identity. Like when we were in Kiev at the program there, some lady said, you know, like not wanting to consider Krishna consciousness. Oh no, one girl who's becoming initiated, her mother told her, this is not Ukrainian religion. You should practice the religion of the Ukraine. And I'm saying, well, who determined that? Right? You know, who can say what is the religion of the Ukraine? You know. Apparently her mother can. So that means if you're born in Romania, you could be in another religion. You know? And then it becomes silly. So then, in other words, but there is some truth in that. That's why it's called provincial, you know, regional, local identity. So we do, on a certain level, have these external identities based upon where we were born, the society we grew up in, the kind of educational system you underwent. And so you can see a part of your surface personality as being reflected of a particular environment. So there's a bit of truth there on some level. So there are all these stereotypes. And, you know, and beyond stereotype, I mean, stereotype's like a neutral word. Then we have like racism and things like that, where people portray people from a particular region very unfavorably or in a very offensive way because they were born, their body was born in a particular, you know, geopolitical, social, economic circumstance. So there's that kind of identity. But Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami, the swarup of the jiva is to be a servant of Krishna. So we're here, and we're born in this world, in human society, in some particular place, and grow up thinking of ourselves in terms of local, provincial identity, national identity, gender, social, political, economic, all these kind of things. Until if we're fortunate, well, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev, actually, what to speak of within this world, we've been wandering throughout the length and breadth of the world, exploring all these different identities and prospects for establishing ourselves as an exploiting center, and unsuccessfully realizing the self. And that's why we're suffering, as Manu says, tamasa bahurupena veshtita karmahetana. And he's describing all these different living beings. And when he went to the non-human section, said, tamasa bahurupena, and the mode of ignorance, bahurupena, all these different life forms, says, veshtita karmahetana, karma vesh, they're all dressed in their karma. So someone's dressed in the body of a tree, in the body of a bird, the body of a cat, the body of a human being. It's all karmic dress. So, which is the outcome of, it's the karmic reaction to former actions. So the spiritual prospect lies in, from this karma, relative karmic circumstance, to begin acting in terms of your svarup, your prospect of servitorship to Krishna. Like Srila Guru Maharaj says in the Gaudiya Mat days, some of the British people thought, well, they say, you know, servant of Krishna, sometimes, you know, tadvritya vritya paricharaka vritya vritya, dasa dasa anudasa, the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So they said, really, these people, are, they're preaching some kind of slavery, right, which is the degradation of human beings. Because again, we know from humanism, I'm number one, I'm at the center, I'm no one's slave, I'm a king in my own, you know, kingdom. Or as one writer, modern writer said, sarcastically, he said, we're all kings of our skull-sized kingdoms. Understand the skull?
No.
He said, that's the length and breadth of your kingdom. Is this skull, a skull-sized kingdom? You're the king or queen of that. And that's not even true. Because we're slaves to an uncontrolled mind and incessant distraction, stimuli, agitation. So, anything before that? Oh, with them. Right, so they're all dressed in their karma. Wearing karmic dress. I've mentioned this as being the body, being the biological expression of the soul's delusion. So whatever particular delusion we're suffering under, that there's a mind, that misconception is housed in a, you know, with a hankar, false ego, an intellect, a mind, a body, and senses based upon that. So we're living in the world of exploitation, inhabiting a body that is based upon a misconceived identity. We're voyeuristically envisioning or vicariously envisioning ourselves as exploiters. So Guru Maharaj's answer when they said, you know, Gaudiya Mat, Krishna consciousness is about slavery, or becoming a slave, and he said, Saraswati Thakur said, no, Gaudiya Mat stands for the dignity of the human race. It's a very dignified prospect to be Krishna Das. And so Guru Maharaj is famous for giving examples. He said that that are, with, in other words, examples within our experience that point to some otherwise remote truth or something hard to grasp and understand. At the time, Mahatma Gandhi put out word that he needed an assistant, right? You can say assistant, you know, executive secretary, servitor, whatever you want to call it. And Guru Maharaj pointed out, the people who were volunteering for that post were the highest men in India. Millionaires, highly educated people, everyone wanted to be Mahatma Gandhi's servant. Because they were thinking, what were they thinking? Oh, he's so great. If I get any position in connection with him, that'll be beneficial for me. So, if that's the job, I'll take it, anything. So Guru Maharaj is giving this example. If we can conceive of that for some great person in this world, then what to speak of the supreme entity, the supreme being? What should be our, what's the entry-level relationship in the upper world, in the spiritual world? It should be one that is modest, right? So, now, three things we should conceive. The world of exploitation, as we mentioned, and there's the world of renunciation, then dedication. So three worlds. The plane of exploitation, sometimes, through the culture of knowledge, people understand the necessity of withdrawing from the karmic plane and the world of exploitation, and they try to renounce the world. To put an end to all the, because by culturing negativity, all these, negative actions, so many reactions are going to come from that. So that's generally called mukti, or liberation. But in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, they describe liberation with a different prospect, and it says, Muktir hitvanyata rupam. When you give up all these false concepts of self, swarupena vibhastuti, then give up the false rup, you get the swarup, the real rup, the real self. And it has some prospect of a life of service in the upper world. So as we told before, the beginning prospect is to embrace the servitor position now, right? Under the direction of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnava, to start culturing that servant identity. So as we say sometimes at the time of initiation, there's a name change, so that one will reconceive themselves along the line of a serving agent, as opposed to our former identity as an exploiting agent. So that begins here, but sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj compares some of the things we do as to like a mock fight. You understand what that is, a mock fight? Means when sometimes the military, they're practicing, they're using real ammunition, but no one's being killed. So it's training, mock fight. So sometimes, some of the activities we're doing, they're, you could say, training for actual service in the upper realm. It doesn't mean that it's not service. It's service when it's under the direction of Guru and Vaishnava. But the service that we seek, ultimately, when what you said in the question in the beginning, the service of the swarup in the upper world, that is of a more substantial quality. Like, for example, Guru Maharaj would mention, we talk about archan, worshipping the deities. Now, he says, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they're not engaged in deity worship. They have deities, but they're not like practitioners engaged in deity worship. What they're doing is that it's called bhajan, or direct service. What's an example of that is, we know in the case of Sanatana Goswami, as we hear from Srinivasa Acharya, what about these Goswamis? They're Nidrahara, Vihara, Kajivijito, Chaitanya, what else? Chakva, Tornamashesha, Mandalopati, Sanim Sada, Tuchaba. They're living under trees. They have no resources. So we hear the deity of Madan Mohan tells Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami every day is making some kind of, like, taking some wheat flour and some water, making balls, throwing them in the fire, and that's the offering. So the deity tells Sanatana Goswami, it would be good if you could add a little salt. And Sanatana Goswami thinks, where am I going to get salt? Salt costs money. That's how poor he is. And I don't have any salts. So then, as fate would have it, on the Jamuna River, a barge, a ship full of salt, you know, went dry dock. So then Sanatana Goswami helped the ship overcome its problem and get ready to sail again to Jamuna. So out of appreciation, they gave him a mountain of salt for his deity. So now he got plenty of salt. So now every day he's making those bones, you know, take a little salt, add one pinch of salt, throw in the fun, you know. And Madan Mohan is taking that. And the Sanatana, what is it now? Saying, a little ghee. This is not deity worship. So then, but then Sanatana Goswami realizes, oh, now I understand. You want to feed me. Because the deity, Baba Grahi Janardhan, the deity is eating love and devotion. But the deity is thinking, I want Sanatana Goswami to have a little ghee, a little something nicer. So he knows Sanatana Goswami will never accept that service. So Sanatana saying, if you can give to me a little salt, a little ghee, then it'll be nice. But that's, so that's the real sign of devotion, where the infinite comes under the control of the finite. So just like they're telling the child to come and give me this garland. And he's happily doing that. But he's doing that because he's being asked or told to do that. It's a training, actually. And in time, with growth and development, the heart evolves, may do that on his own. So it's something like that. We're working under the direction of Guru and Vaishnav. They're saying, you know, Mahaprabhu saying, you are the eternal servant of Krishna, but why am I suffering so much now and I don't even know who I am properly? And I'm supposed to try and sing, should I go this way? Should I go that way? Well, no. Now that you're hearing that you are the eternal servant of Krishna, sambandha abhideya prayojan, that will give you direction in your life, where to go. That gives you perspective. Just like, we see on the, it's like a spiritual version of GPS, right? So just like with GPS, which stands for Global Positioning Satellite, or something like that, is that right? In this group, it's fine. Yes. There's no one here who's a qualified nerd, right? Or maybe,
upstairs.
Huh?
Upstairs.
Oh, okay, right. But anyway, so that's what it means. Global positioning satellite. I'm pretty sure it means that. So that means wherever you are, you know, you can see that on the map. Right? You look, and then you know. Oh, here's our location. Now we can proceed in this direction. So the GPS is hearing, you're the eternal servant of Krishna. That's your actual identity. And you say, now you're telling me that, I'm becoming aware of that prospect. The depth of that and the full-blown representation of that is unknown to me at present. And actually, to a certain degree, irrelevant. And because there are those who, well, maybe I'm jumping ahead, but there are those, there are gurus in India, the famous, you know, Radha Kunda, Babaji, they'll, from day one, some girl gets off the airplane from Russia, goes to Radha Kunda, and they're telling them, this is your spiritual life, this is your swaroop. Right? So that is, makes the whole thing cheap. Because Guru Maharaj presented this in a very modest and reasonable way. Said that actually, after being under the care of a proper Vaishnav, Guru, for so long, making spiritual progress, Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, etc., saying that a qualified guru starts detecting the swaroop of the disciple. Because gradually the layers were covered by layers and layers of ego, acquired prejudice, misconceived self. But once under the guidance of Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnava, reconceiving the self along the lines of an eternal servant of Krishna and serving, gradually these layers start to vanish and the real self starts to shine through. So on the Brajamandal Parikrama, Vrindavan, Guru Maharaj was there with Saraswati Thakur and some others, and Saraswati Thakur at one point said to Guru Maharaj, you know, what is your favorite place? And Guru Maharaj said, Kadam Kandi, right, which is the place of Rupa Goswami, and where he perhaps wrote some of the Bhakti Shastras and things like that. So, anyway, time that nothing more was said of it. Then a few years later, they're on the Brajamandal Parikrama again, and when they came to Kadam Kandi, Saraswati Thakur said to Guru Maharaj, your place. And Guru Maharaj was surprised, and he thought, oh, Guru Maharaj is engaged in, and this is the term, ruchi pariksha. Pariksha means to scrutinize, and ruchi means the taste. He is scrutinizing the taste of his disciples. And this is something advanced. This is Saraswati Thakur observing certain things in Srila Guru Maharaj, but I'm just giving this as an example. In a similar way, Guru Maharaj asked Gurudev about his favorite place. And this doesn't mean from what was visually pleasing or any criteria like that. This is some inner qualification. And at the time, Gurudev said, what is it called? Uchagaon, Lalitabar, the house of Lalita Sakhi, which is, again, is significant. So, and Gurudev appreciated this so much that, oddly, he never wanted to go there again. He was offered to go there at different times after devotees heard this story and different things. He was offered to go there again. He didn't want to go. You think, oh, then he must want to go. No, he didn't want to go. Why? He said, because I'm afraid that impression that I had before that was in my heart, that it wouldn't be the same if I went again. So to protect that sentiment, he didn't want to go there again. So, uh, You know, we could say that as Guru Maharaj once said regarding Mahaprabhu, just in terms of a sequence, you know, he's initiated by Ishwara Puri, takes sannyas from Keshava Bharati. He said, and Ramananda Roy we conceive of as his Raga Marg Diksha Guru. So Raga Marg, meaning on the path of spontaneous devotion, in the higher plane, then at that point, there's something called Swarup Siddhi, Vastu Siddhi. Swarup Siddhi means knowledge, awareness of one's actual Swarup. And Vastu Siddhi means posted in terms of that relationship. So the famous sloka, Bhagavad Gita, Chaktva Deham Punar Janmanaiti Maometi Sorjana. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Krishna saying ostensibly, one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth, my appearance in this world, giving up this body, chaktva deham, that body based upon the, you know, the biological expression of the soul's delusion, that misconceived, giving that up, chaktva deham punar janma, they don't have to be born here again. Naiti maometu, and they come, and they enter my world, in my family, in the spiritual world. So perhaps Sanatana Goswami says that, Guru Maharaj parsing this, explaining, said that this means that the devotee is transferred to a universe where Krishna's pastimes are current. Right? We hear Krishna's pastimes last for 125 years. And they go from one universe to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, like that. So he says, that devotee is born in the womb of a Braja Gopi in a planet, in a universe where Krishna's pastimes are. And there, they're introduced to Krishna Leela. Sometimes Guru Maharaj compared it to a dress rehearsal. Understand dress rehearsal? You understand that? Yeah. So he's saying because they're then having participated in the Krishna Leela, then Vastu Siddhi, they're posted in Goloka Vrindavan. So that's all the way from here to there. But it began with Mahaprabhu saying, Jive Swarupai, your Swarup is Krishna Das. And still, that's general. What type of servant of Krishna? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura, and then two divisions. And within each one, many gradations. Different, as Uddhava saying asamaho charan renu jashamaham chan rindavane kimapi gumalato sadinam. He who is the highest level of friend in Dwaraka, right, is aspiring to be a blade of grass or a creeper in Braja. So that tells us so many possibilities of what it means to be Krishna Das and how dignified that position is. They say in Vrindavan, you don't see like yogis and sages, but those who become perfect, they may take their position there as bees, birds, bees. Sometimes the birds are sitting on a tree, hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they become stunned. And then, you know, like, you know, they can loop around the tree or fall out of the tree. The bees, they're but if sometimes they listen carefully and hear, they're chanting Om and many Vedic mantras and glorification of Krishna. And they say the king of the bees. And sometimes he starts dancing and singing about Krishna, and everyone's watching this big bee dancing and singing madly the pastimes of Krishna. So Vaikunthya Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy. Everything there from the ground up is Chinmoy, spiritual substance. Now, like in a play, can play many different parts. Like sometimes children, they're in a play, they come home and their parents say, "What part did you get?" They say, "I'm a flower." And they're very happy to be a flower. They say, "I'm a flower." "Oh, what kind of flower?" "A lotus flower." So they're saying, and then, you know, they have their flower dress. So as the bodies here are the biological expression of the soul's delusion, the bodies there are the spiritual form expression of the soul's enlightened position as a servitor of Krishna. So from our present position, we can't properly grasp that and understand it correctly. But any position there is something that is wonderful and exalted. And what appears to be Shanta Rasa, neutrality, and Goloka, has to be reconceived. Because, as Gurudev told, that Goloka Vrindavan, everything is saturated not only with Madhura Rasa, but Parakiya Bhava. So there's an example in the Bhagavatam where, from the angle of vision of the Braja Gopis, Krishna and the cowherd boys are singing and dancing and entering the Vrindavan forest in the morning. Barha pidamnata bara bapu kane o kane kano bibrad basa kanaka kapisam bai jayantim chamalam randran venu urdhaya sudhaya purayam gopa vrinde vrindaranyam svapara ramanam pravishad gita kirti. When you first hear this, and you thought Krishna, the cowherd boys, and but then you begin to understand, well, who is seeing this? It's a description of Krishna and the cowherd boys. So you think, oh, it's Sakya Rasa, Krishna and the cowherd boys. But who is the source of this verse? Radharani and the Braja Gopis, they're in their houses on the Brindavan, and this is what we're seeing through their eyes. What they see in the morning. That's why sometimes the Braja Gopis decry their own position. Like, what is the use of being a gopi? Because we can't go with Krishna when he goes to herd the cows. It would be better to be cowherd boys. We could be gopas. That would be great. Then we could go with Krishna. Now, because we're gopi girls, we don't get to go. So what good is it being a gopi? But anyway, so in this, they're saying, Barha pidam natabara bapu karni o karni karam. Krishna is wearing the peacock feather. And natabara means that he looks like a movie star. That's really what it means. Like, how movie stars, they look and they move a certain way, and when they smile and talk. Natabarabhava, he's like, whatever, like when they show some, whoever it is at the time, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's always, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, however many, and then everyone's looking and they lose their breath seeing this person is so beautiful, and seductive, charming, handsome, and everything they do seems to be perfect, the way they move, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they laugh. So what to speak of Krishna? If some man or woman in this world can hold that position, however briefly, what to speak of the person who holds that permanently and with infinite magnitude? Okay, I just don't want it to be on the floor. Okay. Hare Krishna. Barhapidam natabara bapu. Karneo, karnikara, the kind of flowers that are behind Krishna's ears. Bibrad basa kanaka kapisambai jayantim tamalam. And he's wearing a garland. By jayanti means forest flowers. But what is that forest? Vrindavan. So he's wearing flowers that grow in Vrindavan. And what kind are they again? Chinmoy. So they're spiritually conscious also. But, you know, anyway. So then, Randran Bain Wardhaya Sudhaya Puriyan Gopavinde. He's playing this flute. But as has been pointed out by Braja Gopis in other plays, Vishala Chidja Jalena Purna Lagu Atir Katina Grantila Nirashashi. One point they're complaining, this flute is a dry piece of wood full of holes. The same word for hole and fault is the same. So they're saying, full of faults. A dry piece of wood. And that flute is at the lips of Krishna receiving and never-ending stream of nectar. The world is not fair. This doesn't make any sense. So that flute, then streams of nectar coming from the lips of Krishna, entering the flute, and then what? They're streaming back and then the environment. Are we talking about streaming video? This is streaming nectar from the environment. Krishna's playing the flute, and the whole environment is full of nectar, divine nectarine substance. Gopa Brinde, and surrounded by all these cowherd boys who are, they look very beautiful, and they also, they play instruments, and they know how to dance very nicely and sing. So they're singing and dancing with Krishna and Balaram there, and all these cows, and they're getting ready to go into the forest. It says, Brindaranyam Svapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. So this is their kirtan, their song, their morning kirtan song on their way in the Vrindavan forest. But here it says, Brindaran Svapada Ramanam. Ramana means Krishna's lotus feet are touching the earth as he walks. Those same lotus feet, Yadvansaya Sri Lalana Charatapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Vridavratam. The goddess of fortune wants those lotus feet. Everyone, those lotus feet are touching the earth. And what is the effect? Svapada Ramanam. The earth is shivering in conjugal ecstasy at the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. So we say Shantarasa of Vrindavan, of Goloka Vrindavan, that's supposed to be neutrality, the least position, whatever. Here, who's occupying that position? Shivering in conjugal ecstasy from the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. So we bow our heads to that plane. We can only have a momentary glimpse by the grace of our Guru Varga. But when it says, Swarupai Krishnarani, being a servant of Krishna, the Das of Krishna, in that plane is something inconceivable, pretty much from our present position. But mercifully, by the grace of the Guru Varga and Vaishnavas, we get the opportunity to connect to that plane through service by doing something that we're able to do. Yes, to enter in that plane, the direct service of the Rup Sanatans, that's another thing. But from our present position, whatever energy we have, whatever abilities we might have, if we offer them in service, then it's bringing us in connection with that inconceivable plane. And in Guru Maharaj's words, Yogamaya's ever vigilant, watchful eye, she's seeing everyone who's serving and bringing them up according to service necessity. But as we told Sanatan Goswami, Prabhu, the Sambandhagyan Acharya, Rupa Goswami, Avideya, then Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojan Tattva Acharya. Prayojan means the ultimate goal, target, focus. He says, Dasya me mama rasastu rasastu satyam, sakaya me mama namostu namostu nityam. Who is qualified in that plane, saying, intimate service, that is not my focus. But rather, I focus on the least service, whatever that might be. That's appropriate for me. If someone is called up into the higher plane to render service, that's another thing. But I'm focused on dasya. So all those servitors there, they're focused in this sense on dasya rasa. And in this regard, in the Jiva Dharma of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's one description there in the beginning where the one Babaji qualified, he's in the upper world, in his swarup, rendering service. And he turns to his newly acquired, acquainted associate and gives him a direction from that plane. He goes, you know, he's saying to, they don't want any disturbance to come to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He's giving him some direction. So being in the upper world, but he's giving a direction here on that person. We can understand they're at this qualified point where they're now going to be given instructions based upon Swarup Siddhi. But anyway, it's brief. And so Gurudev was once saying in Kolkata, he goes, that's all. He gets told this one thing and that's it. He said, but rather, we prefer to be serving 24 hours. You know, being told in one moment, you do this. And so I offered as an explanation, I said, because right then, this old devotee, you know, Nripin Prabhu, who's the elderly gentleman in the Dum Dum Park, he had the seva of every day coming upstairs and giving Gurudev the newspaper, then he stayed, then he goes down. So I said, Maharaj, I said, but like Nripin Prabhu. And he said, what? I said, well, he's always doing seva downstairs, but once a day he comes and gives you the paper and then he goes back. And I said, oh, then that is okay. Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah.